Blog Talk Radio. welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with me, you Wild Dove. Tonight we will be doing finish up contest poetry on a quote that Gray Eyes and I ran. And also we're going to do a fabulous array of open poetry. I am so excited and so happy that so many of you are allowing us to read your wonderful poetry, and I'm so deeply looking forward to it and hearing the recordings, reading your poetry and listening to the awesome comments that our callers will be given. I want to tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are titled Late Night Poets, and we are on one of the many groups on allpoetry.com. We run radio shows throughout the week, in the evening, sometimes in the afternoon, and also into the late wee morning hours. And you can find all these poetry books from the different groups that have been collected, and they have donated poetry from around the world, and they're just beautiful thick books that our producer Fill My Eyes had printed, and you can find them very affordable on Amazon.com, Late Night Poet Books. So I'm going to start picking up our callers because we have a whole list of poetry, and let's get started. Okay, so let me go check. Caller 778, who am I speaking with?
Hello, Louie Wilder. This is Gray Eyes Smith.
Hi, Gray Eyes. Welcome to the show. And let me pick up. He is one of our radio hosts also. And hello, caller. Is this Weaver?
I don't know. Am I Weaver?
Well, you have wove yourself into my heart, my dear sweet poet. I loved your biker pic that you put up. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. Hello, everybody.
Hello, welcome, welcome. And we have more callers. It's just taking a while to pick up. Hello, caller 585. Who am I speaking with?
Bonsoir, Louie.
Bonsoir, the handsome and wonderful deep voice poet that I love to hear read and comment. I especially love your laugh. Welcome to the show, Laurent.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And we have another caller. And it's kind of running kind of slow, but it's running. Caller 917, who am I speaking with?
This is Francine. Hi, Louie. How are you?
Hi, Francine. Good evening, and how are you? I'm so happy to hear your voice. Welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And just to let people know, if for any reason the site drops you, it's not us, because we love our callers. So please call back just in case you get dropped, because even the host gets dropped. Shame on this technology. So let's see who the next caller is. 415, who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Keith Palethorpe.
Keith, hi, Keith. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. I'm a little confused by the technology, but that's standard.
It confuses me all the time. It's so wonderful to hear your voice, Keith. Welcome to the show.
Okay, well, thank you.
So we're going to go ahead. Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's reads. And let me pick up the first poem. And this is for our contest. Just a minute. And I want to thank everybody who's hanging out in the group. This is by Blossom Writer. And we're finishing up the contest reads that I did a quote. Unknown, water your roots so your soul can blossom. So we're going to finish that up and then go into our awesome open poetry. I was delightfully rained upon with poetry. So whatever doesn't get read this week, I will open it up with my program for next Monday. Every poem will be read, and I want to thank everybody. So let's go ahead and get started. And Gray Eyes, you are our first caller. Would you please like to read Blossom's poem?
Okay, sure. This is called One in the Same. A butterfly blooms from its cocoon and its bliss, the defiance of its nature. And though it seems as slipped raindrops cover sunsets, it transfers the wisdom of its own being. In colors of the spring and fruited polyps, the flowers that transpire the unanimous collective of love and the being of Creator Source. And as all things were the same that had flourished, so has truth in one life as it serves its purpose to philosophy. I have no doubt but to live the life that is my own, and it is one in the same. End poem.
Gray, that was a beautiful read. And before we get to the comments, we have another caller, caller 785, who we see.
Hi, this is Allison.
Hi, Allison. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty awesome. Good to be here.
And lo and behold, we got another caller. Yay! Caller 470, who are we speaking with?
It's me, Fallon.
Hey, darling, how you doing?
Good, but give some support here.
Okay, well, we're happy to have you. And since we have so many callers, I'm going to be doing 3 to 4 comments a poem so that we can make sure that we can get as many poems read. You can comment on the poems, and that especially because poets love to see comments. So please leave a comment when you can. So let's go ahead and start with Katie. What did you think about Blossom's poem?
Oh, well, we're talking butterflies, so I mean, my favorite things, I love them. And that first stanza is absolutely beautiful. A butterfly blooms from its cocoon, and it is bliss, the defiance of its nature. Yeah, it's amazing the fact that you can get something so beautiful from what started off as a little bug thing. So, yes, that's a lovely thought to start with. I don't like bugs. And then we have my favorite thing, the last stanza. I always love the last stanza. I have no doubt but to live that life that is my own, and it is one in the same. So we come full circle, and I think it's absolutely lovely. And thank you very much for sharing.
Agreed. Thank you, Katie. Fantastic comment. And Laurent, what did you think of Blossom's poem?
It was a beautiful piece. I like the representation of spring, I like the way that the butterfly is reflected in the colors of the spring, and the being of Creator Source is to me a very deep statement. It implies that there's a connectivity among all things, and the poem basically states that. I love the last lines. I have no doubt but to live life that is my own, and it is one and the same. That works perfectly for the purposes of this beautiful little poem.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. You guys all get such fabulous comments. And what did you think, Francine?
I also like the reference to the springtime and the colorfulness of it. I like the part about the butterflies. I thought that was beautiful. All in all, I thought the poem was lovely. I just enjoyed every word.
Thank you, Francine. Wonderful comment. And Keith, what did you think of Blossom's poem?
I'm a little distracted this evening. Can I be excused from commenting, Lulu?
Yes, you may. And that is absolutely fine. And what do you think, Allison?
I really enjoyed this poem. The whole thing was beautiful, but the stanza, and though it seems as stippled raindrops over sunsets, it transfers the wisdom of its own being. I thought that was beautiful. It was very well written and really nice flow to it. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you. Fantastic comments. So now I'm just dropped in our next poem, and it's by Marius Alexandru, and our next reader is Weaver.
And I successfully took myself off mute. I'm so proud. All right.
I can't mute phones, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, you're so lucky. I do every time. But anyway, I'm going to put my serious face on, which is not a pretty face,
okay.
Let me tell you. Okay. Okay, here we go. Always go the extra mile. You taught me how to turn my other cheek, how to be kind, how peace to seek, to make a difference between right and wrong, to be gentle, but also to be brave and strong. You taught me to be the help in need, a soothing balm for those who bleed. You taught me when I see one that is hurt, to tend him, give him my good shirt, to give the hungry food from my own shelf, to love my neighbor as myself. You taught me when to cry and when to smile. You taught me always go the extra mile. End poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous read in reading this poem. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Weaver. So let's start our comments. Stellan, you are next to comment.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful brevity, and I think there's so much to be said in this, and it's just a lot of humanity and what we are taught and what some people actually do are two different things. And I think this is just a nice reminder of loving our neighbor like you love yourself. An excellent, excellent light.
I agree. What I love so much about this poem is, you know, this is something that, you know, our parents or teach us, you know, and to me, that is watering my soul. You know, giving of yourself is more than receiving. And I agree totally what Felon said. And I really love that ending stanza. If we see somebody in need, that there's nothing more beautiful to give than without them asking. And I also like this point here where it says, you taught me to cry and when to smile. You know, that is one of the things I have always believed in, that whether it's a girl or a boy, especially a boy, that there is nothing wrong with crying. And in fact, in my native ancestry, it was, you know, strength showed by the American men when they cried. This is not something unnatural. It is something natural. And I want to thank Marius for this gorgeous poem and Gray Eyes. It is your turn next to comment.
Okay. I thought it was a lovely poem. You know, I had really got the watering of the roots from that poem. You know, you taught me how to turn my cheek, to be kind and peace to seek, to make a difference between right and wrong, to be gentle, but also be brave and strong. I mean, that pretty much sums it up right there. Beautiful read, Weaver.
Thank you, Gray. So now we are going to go into our next poem. And just to let you know, we're going to do the contest pieces, then some of the open poetry. And in the second hour, the readers that are on the show, they will have opportunity to read the poems that they put in the list. And again, besotes a todos who put in poems. Kisses to everyone that sent poems. And this is another contest piece by Swan Song. And our next reader is Laurent.
All right. A New Yard, A New Life by Swan Song. My sunflowers are almost as tall as I am, and they are blooming with wide yellow smiles, swaying in the easy wind on a dry day. I did not plant them on purpose. They fell from the bird feeders hanging off shepherd's hooks next to an old elm tree, where once it was a garden, but now cheap grass and rocks. I water them every day now, and have spent several hot summer days rototilling and planting grass for the new yard and new life. Yesterday, a large bumblebee with bright red and yellow bands buzzed busily into the blossoms, and was covered with pollen, even on the antennas. The new house spreads over the foundation of the old home, and roses and yellows and reds, some a burnt orange, blossoms that fade, then blossoms again, a perpetual resurrection. Seven new trees grow with a puddle at their base, and yesterday the prettiest goldfinch, perched on a feeder for 5 minutes. I have not had much luck with hummingbirds, though a pretty Rutius did a buzz by. I am learning to water the roots again as old legs hike up the skyline trail overlooking the Yakima River as it winds through the canyon where eagles perch and soar, and I fill myself with the beauty of life. End poem.
Thank you, Lawrence. That was such a fabulous read, and what a beautiful poem by Swan Song. Let's get some comments. Weaver, what did you think of Swan Song's poem?
I thought it was absolutely marvelous. I was there watching him work. Oh, my, I mean, I know there's a lot of gardening has to be done to get yourself a nice new yard. We don't call them yards. We call them gardens. So I had to think a minute before I realized what we were talking about. Really lovely. The new house being built over the old house and roses blooming. I thought it's so looking forward to the future, isn't it? It's a case of let's not think about the past. Let's work and make the future better. And I thought that was absolutely lovely. So, thank you so much, Swan Song.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you so much, Katie. And Laurent, what did you think?
This is very skillfully done. He begins with the sunflowers, and as he describes their wide yellow smiles, he gives us the easy wind, he gives us the dry day. And he begins to relate how those sunflowers are there. I did not plant them on purpose. We learn they're incidental sunflowers. And by describing each thing, he carries us through the story. And we learn about the new yard, the new house. One thing leads to another. So the poem has great flow, great description. This is somebody who can appreciate what he sees in the world in which he lives. Really, really like this piece.
I did too. That's how I got a bunch of my new sunflowers. Fortunately, I have hummingbirds, and they complain when I don't have their feeder up there. They just tell me, why isn't this thing full of sugar water? And then I also pet feed they're called house finches, they said it because they escaped from somebody's house in New York, and there are like fire bushes. Their head is this most beautiful, gorgeous, flaming red, and they also knock the seeds down from the bird feeder, and that's how I got a lot of my summer spring flowers. I really enjoyed this poem. But let's get back. Brenton, you are our next poet to comment.
Yes, I thought that it read beautifully, smoothly, and it takes us from the sunflowers all the way through to the bumblebee that was covered in, covered with the pollen, even on the antennas. Mm-hmm. I thought the imagery with that was absolutely amazing. Then he talks about his new house and the foundation. And I liked the other part about the puddles. Let me see. Seven new trees grow with the puddle at their base. And yesterday, the prettiest goldfinch perched on a feeder for 5 minutes. It's just so beautifully written, and it just flows from one stanza to the next. Really well done. I love the ending as it winds mm-hmm. through the canyon where eagles perch and soar, and I fill myself with the beauty of life. Just beautiful. All I can say. Beautifully done.
Yeah, I agree. And fantastic comments. Allison, you're next to comment. What did you think of Swan's poem?
This was an incredible journey through this person's backyard or front yard.
It really touched me. I meditate in my backyard every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch the sunrise. And this reminds me of how that feels. It's that the beauty of looking out over the yard and seeing the small bugs, when she talks about the bumblebees. And I love the new house spreads over the foundation of the old home, because it reminds me of how we build on our past. And I just thought it was an incredible poem. Thank you.
Thank you. I love all your comments and love all this poetry. Gray Eyes, I have just put a link in, which I will repost it. It's by Colab. If you could please, please play her recording for me, because I can't see the list. It cut me off for some reason.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you, sweetie. Colab.
You're welcome.
The Small Resurrection by Colab. It stirs within me in constant flux, a liquid light, silver gold, translucent in constant motion, rippling the surface of my slate, skating sometimes on an anthracite slate, only to snake back to its initial state, argent strips that snake their way from my belly, then glide up to my solar plexus, where they are trapped in the interstice, where the seed of love became a wilted sprout. But if you stroke me with just a few words of tenderness a little louder, feather my way just whiff of your interest, flash a dash of your ivory smile, squeeze one single drop of your amrita nectar into the arid well of my despair. From this cracked ground that I've gotten used to calling a heart, a lotus will blossom, rose iridescent from its muddy bottom. Their textured petals will little by little unfurl, just because you are paying attention to me. End of poem.
I want to thank Colab for that beautiful recording, and I just loved the way that she ended this poem, where she talks about a lotus blossom. It says, a lotus will blossom, rose iridescent from its muddy bottom. Their textured petals will little by little unfurl, just because you are paying attention to me. You know, isn't that just one of the, that is so beautiful, the metaphors and the feelings that I have. It's just when somebody pays attention to you, whether it's your friend or family member, how they can make us feel as if we're unfurling, even so sometimes we don't feel so hot. And they just give a shower us with love. I just found this absolutely gorgeous. What did you think, Felon?
Colab has a way of saying things, and the metaphors in here are just jumping off the page. What it meant to me, or I read it as, is, you know, just like a relationship and a flower, it can start to wilt, but if you don't give it pay it any attention, it will die. You can't just let something linger out there and watch it wilt and don't think that it's not going to be beautiful and something that you're going to be interested in. So for that other person to find interest, they have to put interest in it too, so, and put work into it. This is what I got from it. Great, right?
Thank you, Phil, an excellent comment. And Gray, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Excellent read as well. But, you know, she really has a way of painting pictures with words, and, you know, that shines through in this break. I thought it was a beautiful presentation of the take on the prompt. Well done.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And our next reader is Francine, and I have just dropped in a poem by Barda Gales. If you would please read that poem for us, Francine.
One second. I think I have lost the page. Sorry.
Yeah, it's easy to do. I'm always pushing the wrong button.
Sorry. Let me go back to the group page, and I'll find it again.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I seem to be floundering here.
No.
I'm in the wrong one. I'm holding everybody up. I feel terrible.
No, no, no. Don't get nervous, because when
that's
I get nervous
happening.
That I make more mistakes trying. Well, you know, I'm not very good with technology. I like
I'm
old school. Stick a note in the locker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Late night.
Everybody flounders.
Okay. Well, I'm on the page, Late Night Poets, but that's not the right page. I take it.
Just scroll
I
down.
I lose myself. Scroll down. Okay. Yeah, I'm scrolling, but I'm on the wrong page. The reading list. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not it. Oh, I got it. Okay. Garden of Enlightenment.
Yay.
Yay. I'm so sorry. Okay. Now, where did you added something you said?
Yes, if you
did
would
you
read it.
Cola?
It's a, yeah, let
Barbara
me repost
Gale?
It again. Yeah, yes, I'm going to repost it so you don't have to search for it. And my computer's moving like a snail.
I think I have it. Is it Furnish? Furnish Foundation?
Yes. Furnish Foundation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I have it. Okay, Furnish Foundation. Fruition ferment fueled by edifying efforts. Ringing rays of victorious, vibrant buying. Etching eliminated evils, merges nods of noted comedy, cohesiveness, community, commissioning, yield of yes yearly, trending touchstone to overturning oppressive overture, foster fellowship fiercely foundational to writing rancor, rearranging rage, undermining umbrage, utilization of inking inches of touted tape, on initiatives, inciting, overcoming, options, offenses, numbing, negativity. End poem.
And you know what? That was a tongue twister, and wow, you read that fabulously.
Thank you. It took me long enough to find it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you did. You did fantastic. So let's go ahead and start with the commenting. What did you think about this poem, Weaver?
Hello, was that me? Yes. All right, yeah, again.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I envy people's ability to alliteration and all the other beautiful things that people can do with words. I really, really envy. I'm a kind of straight in there storyteller. So to look at something like this, I just love it. I just really love it. Writing rancor, rearranging rage. That's undermining umbrage, utilization of inking inches. I mean, it is a tongue twister, but it's beautifully done. So clever. Ah, I do. I like it so
mm-hmm.
much. Thank you very much, Barda.
Agreed. Thank you, Weaver. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
The alliterative wordplay in this was very satisfying. He knows how to use words.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last stanza spells out fruition in the first letter of each line, which I thought was clever as well. I always enjoy a poem written for the sake of playing with language, and this was a good one.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Francine?
I thought it was a very strong poem. I think some of the expressions are amazing. Edifying efforts, ringing rays of victorious, vibrant buying. I mean, it's just beautiful. The alliteration's beautiful. The words are beautiful. I'm not sure I have 100% understanding, but I just love reading it. It just sounded so perfect. Very lovely.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Allison?
Oh, yes, I like this. And I guess my sense of it was this whole idea of what I got from it was how your attitude can change things.
Mm-hmm.
When it talks about edifying efforts, and ending with overcoming options, offensive, numbing negativity. This whole idea that we can somehow turn these things is a beautiful concept to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and now we're going to go to our next poem. And I see that Poetic Picasso is having issues getting in. I don't see you, sweetheart. So just, you know, every once in a while, try and I'll see if I can pick you up. But I don't see you on the board. So please keep trying. Okay. So the next poem in is by Hat. And our next reader is Allison.
Let the sighs make some noise. Be the wild rain who rains on me, flowing into my lap, soaking into every pore of my hot skin, copulating with you in the rain in the middle of the green meadow. It teases the verve in me. Let the sighs make the noise. I'll be the wild river. You'll be the wind which bangs into the waves, earthquake, tsunami. Let's not be the same as those people who fucked a missionary for 15 minutes. Rights are young. We don't even exchange the bed kingdom for the breakfast. I'll swallow your juicy stream with the last wave. Keep the recitation of the Lord's Prayer for the tombstone only. Now we flow within ourselves. End poem.
Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic read. And she wrote to a love poem for Saturday's Apocalypse. And it says, say we get a room upstairs, say we spend the next 36 hours silk tangled, heat blustered, forgiven for all our sins, say your flesh quenches my last thirst, say my fingers are the rapture you believe in. Still, we will have regrets, say things go dust to ashes, or whatever. If we wake up together Sunday, come loot with me, give me your mouth, say my name, keep my world alive. And that was just such a powerful quote that she wrote to, and I thought that she did it wonderfully. I really loved where she says, copulating with you in the rain, in the middle of the green meadow, it teases the verse and lets the sighs make the noise. Oof. So let's go ahead and get some comments. Selin, what did you think?
I need a cigarette after that. It's hot. And what I really like about it, it says, which bangs into the waves, earthquake, tsunami. That's my kind of girl. Knock it off the axles. And who wants it for 15-minute missionary? So let's break each other out. So this here is just wow. And the way of the Lord's Prayer for the concern only. This is hot. It's got a lot of metaphors that make you go, whoa. So very, very hot, sizzling. Great job.
Agreed. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
I thought it was a fantastic read, Allison. And, you know, the poem is deeply erotic and engaging. And it was a powerful pen, for sure. Very well done.
Agreed. And let's get one more comment. Weaver. I heard you laughing, girl.
I'm trying to be so good and let me get something like this that makes me all warm. Oh, I loved it. I every stanza, I'm hello, I'm there, in the middle of the green meadow. Thank you very much. Yes, totally fabulous. So well done. And as I say, I love a last stanza. I can't help it, but keep the recitation of the Lord's Prayer for the tombstone only. Now we flow within ourselves. Epic ending. So beautifully
agreed.
Done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Now, I do have the next reader up because I'm going down the list. And then, like I said, in the second hour, I'll get to the readers. Duke Dexter is also one of our hosts. He usually calls in towards the late of the hour, so I'm going to go past this, and just in case you will call in to read. And if not, I'll stick his poem in during the second hour. And our next that we're going to be reading is Becky Upchurch, and I'm going to drop it in the group. Paste. And our next reader is Felon.
Okie dokie. This is by Becky Upchurch, and it's called Gray, the Symbol of Balance. My champagne granddaughter sat next to me, arm to arm, began laughing at our skin colors. She's tan to tone of my belly and says, I'm white. I say, me too. That's why I believe in gray. End poem.
Would you please read her author's notes, Felon?
Yes, let's see the author's notes. Gray symbolizes neutrality and balance, as well as depression and loss. Soon, she is soon turning 15 with blonde hair, blue eyes, and fair skin. My other granddaughter is a Merlot, of her champagne cousin.
Aww. Beautiful read, Felon. I enjoyed it. So let's get some comments. Laurent, what did you think?
Oh, it's a perfect little brevity. She understands the importance of neutrality and demonstrates it in a heartwarming way, really. My champagne granddaughter, what a wonderful way of describing a person, because the mental image you get is simply reinforced by the author's notes. I love she tans to the tone of my belly and says I'm white. I say me too. That's why I believe in gray. Just one of those perfect little brevities that says so much, and it's delicious. So you read it 2 or 3 times because it's easy on the calories.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Laurent. And what did you think, Francine?
I enjoyed it. It was short and sweet. I liked the explanation in the author's notes where she says that one of her granddaughters is champagne, as to the others, Merlot. So it reminded me of myself and my sister. We're kind of like that. She's very tan all the time, and I'm very light, so we look the same way. I guess we're gray, too. So I enjoyed it. Very
Thank
sweet.
Thank you. Thank you. And Allison,
yes.
What did you think of the poem?
Yes, I enjoyed that brevity. I love where she said she tans to the tone of my belly. It brought this image to my mind of this child lying on the giant belly of her grandmother. And it just, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. So let me drop in our next poem. And here we go. This is by Tiku. And our next reader is Brian.
Okay, this is called What Divides the Dead from Those That Dream. They conversed among jaundiced branches, crispy russet leaves scratch across concrete, contrast from the timber of stubborn flugelhorns. Where does the chickadee's beak point? Well, it points downwards, scurrying for scattered seeds in the weary of dawn. It believes one day to fly over those wintry walls that divides the dead from the dreams of spring. End poem. And in his author's note, he says, chickadees are beautiful birds that can. He says, in his author's notes, he says, chickadees are beautiful birds that can represent guidance and their answer to overcome the annual adversities with a press of preparation and perseverance.
And can you please read the prompt?
And that was for the prompt. There divides me from the dead, a wall of difficult dreams.
Thank you, Gray. And now we're going to go ahead and start getting some comments. Felon, what did you think of Kiku's poem?
Did you say Felon?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm just making sure. or after reading the author's notes and the prompt that goes with it, this says a whole lot in so little, and it's very powerful and really tight-knit lines. And what really stuck to me, it says, and where does the chickadee beak point? Well, it points downward, scurrying for scattered seeds and the weary of dawn, and just like that, and, you know, the dreams and what death makes become. So this is just absolutely stunning and very powerful. Enjoyed it a great deal.
Great. You know, I thought it was beautifully penned. It had wonderful natural imagery, and I love the descriptions of the survival. You know, sometimes we go through life and we feel like we can't bypass these obstacles. And I really like where she showed here about this little bird, this chickadee, where she says it believes one day to fly over those wintry walls that divides the dead from the dreams of spring. I just thought that was fantastic. And what did you think, Greg?
I really like the natural aspect of it, too. I mean, you know, it uses nature to portray the difference between being awake and being dead. And, you know, I thought it was just a beautiful presentation. Well, so much said in such a little brevity. Fantastically written.
Thank you, Greg. And let's get one more comment. Katie.
Hello. Yes, another beautiful poem. And that little bird is so cute. Yes, I thought it was, again, very tight, very well written, and give so much imagery. It was just, I was there looking at the little chickadee. I particularly love, I've never heard this before, scurrying for scattered seeds in the weary of dawn. That's a lovely phrase, the weary of dawn. Oh, yeah, I think it's lovely. And the thought that you can fly over, you can get past anything. You can fly over wintry walls and think about spring coming. Yes, beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Great. And I have just dropped in our next poem. And, Katie, it is your turn to read. And this poem was written by J.E.G.
No problem. If you just give me a moment to refresh. I love that refresh.
No problem.
Like an abandoned house, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Lovely picture. Oh, very atmospheric. Okay, I go. No fire burns a welcome flame. Cold rain falls on rotten floors. Glass broken from all windows. Nature slips through. Missing door. Yard untamed by caring hands. Weeds march on unyielding grass. Leaves clogging sagging gutters. No human traffic exists to pass. Like this crumbling house am I, where storms lash on the inside. Last shards of tattered heart fly on cold wings. No comfort rides. On cold wind, no comfort rides, sorry. Shall I ask why shadows bloom upon walls once knowing light, or query all fireflies that dance, why here it is always midnight. End poem.
That was a fabulous read. I really enjoyed this poem by J.E.G. He says that sometimes we are all an abandoned house in the night. So let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Laurent?
I really like this. I really love this poem, actually. And, Katie, that was an outstanding read. I love the metaphor of the abandoned home. To me, there's nothing sadder than to see something that should have been or probably was a comfort to people, a place to live, now abandoned and rotting and decaying. It's just ultimately sad. And he drew the metaphor between himself or a person and the abandoned home very, very skillfully, and finished it with a, I don't know, why here does always midnight? It's such a melancholy statement to make. It reveals exactly how black your depression may be and how empty you are, just like an abandoned home. Really well done.
Thank you, Laurent. And Francine, what did you think about J.E.G.'s poem?
Well, I'd have to piggyback on what was just said, because I also thought that the going from the home that was abandoned to himself who feels abandoned was just beautiful. The metaphor, the descriptions, they were so vivid. I love the describing, the phrasing that he uses. Yard untamed by caring hands, weeds march on yielding grass. Just the way he words it is beautiful. And then, like this crumbling house am I, when storms lash on the inside. Just, to me, it was phenomenal. I love the wording, and I love the metaphor.
Well, fantastic comment. Thank you so very much. And we have a new caller on board. I would like to welcome Poetic Picasso. Welcome, Frank.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. I was dialing in, unfortunately. I'm able to get back on.
That's okay. I'm glad Phil was able to get you in. I'm not too good with electronics, so I apologize for
that. That's all right.
But I did look for you. I kept going over and looking to see if you or anybody else was calling.
No problem, yeah.
Because I get excited when people call in.
Well, there you
go. Doesn't take much to make me happy. Yes, I do.
There you go.
I know you haven't got to comment this evening. Were you able to hear that poem by J.E.G.?
No, but I did read the poem. I was able to read it while you were discussing this with, I believe it was Francine who was commenting there. I thought it was a fantastic poem. It was a very somber piece. It was dark, but it was very much reflective of a lot of what we experience, you know, in our lives. And we, you know, a lot of us go through, we move, we go to one house for another, we go from one residence for another city, so be it. But we always have haunting reminders, sometimes good and bad, but they're always memories to us. So I thought this house was, I mean, I thought that the poem was a very powerful piece.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Excellent comment. I enjoyed them all. And I have just put in the next poem by S.D. Matheson. And Frank, I know you haven't got to read, so I would let you go ahead and read, and then I'll go back up to my list.
All right. You can hear me, right?
Yes, very well.
All right, all right. Well, this is a poem here. It's called Infinite Grace. It's by S.V. Matheson, and it goes like this. Sitting in my window as the night begins, wrapped in my own cloak of stars against a cold north wind. A fireplace illuminates the room with a soft, warm glow. Watching the stars come out, I have no better place to go. Below my window, the streetlights come on, lighting my world from dusk until dawn. The moon's disguise, night is silver, white, an angel holding me tonight. Now within her soft embrace, filled with love and infinite grace. End of poem.
Beautiful, beautiful read. I know you all can't see this picture, but it's the satellite pictures that were taken of space. And this just absolutely stunning. He was inspired of it. He says this image is the magic of NASA. So on that, we're going to get him some comments, and thank you for reading. And
you're welcome.
Thank you. Our next commenter is Gray Eyes.
You know, this has a ability to transport the reader to this place of fantasy, and you know, it's really takes you to the embrace of the one that you love, and you know, you can feel her comforting ways. So I thought he captured that beautifully in his final stanza. Excellent.
Thank you, Gray.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I love watching the new NASA photographs that come out, where we get to see pictures of the universes that we have never seen before. And, you know, the spiraling beauty, to me, it looks like a bowl of jewels that literally has been strewn across this black velvet sky. And it leaves me breathless when I watch something like this. And there's nothing better than being by a fire, especially if you're outside. And to be by a fire just watching all these gorgeous stars go by, and I just thought this was beautiful. And what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, I'm able to see the picture, and it is beautiful. You could fall into that, couldn't you? Just wonderful. And I thought
yes.
that it was written so well. It's so you're there, sitting at the window, by the fireplace, and watching the stars. I mean, that's wonderful. I used to camp up in the Highlands where there's no light, and you look up and it's just a carpet of stars and shooting stars. It's just a lovely experience. So yes, I thought this was again, the moon, the sky tonight is silver white, an angel holding me tonight. That's just beautifully written. So I love the soft embrace, and I hope everybody is filled with love and infinite grace, because we should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. And what did you think, Laurent?
Sitting at my window as the night begins, wrapped in my own cloak of stars against the cold north wind. I appreciate the rhyming in this, and the picture painted is by his words is equal to the picture that is shown. I wonder if that isn't one of the new James Webb telescope pictures. Not sure, but this talks about the very relatable magic of filling your soul with the universe, really. Now within her soft embrace, filled with love and infinite grace, is a wonderful appreciation of the moon, which he calls an angel. Truly, the nighttime on a clear night is a magic place. And I think this poem gives us a taste of that magic very well.
Great. Thank you, everybody. So I'm going to drop in, and thank you for that link, Bobby. Appreciate it very much. And the next poem is by Darkin Aria, and our next reader is Laurent.
All right. Quick refresh. All right. Barren Beauty by Darkin Aria. In an old dead field, it sits there where flowers used to bloom, and long blades of grass blew like an emerald plume. Where I sat upon a wooden chair, closed my eyes, took in the scent, calming lavender, sandalwood, and honey. They were so pleasant. I thought the beauty was long gone and died without a word. But today I saw upon the chair a beautiful red bird. End poem.
Oh, gorgeous, Ray Laurent. Thank you so much. Let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Francine?
First mute of the evening.
Francine!
Sorry, I'm right here. I know, I'm falling apart tonight. My phone was about to die, so I ran to get the charger in the middle of the poem. I didn't want to lose the station. I'm telling you.
I've had that experience as well.
She thought I ran away. No, I'm still here. I love this poem. I like the way he phrases where I sat upon a wooden chair, closed my eyes, took in the scent. And then he describes it so beautifully, calming lavender, sandalwood, and honey. They were so pleasant. The descriptiveness is what got me on this. I really did enjoy it very much. And not everything rhymes, but there's an off rhyme. I think it's every other line rhymes. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love the way it's done. Let me see. Today I saw upon the chair a beautiful red bird. I like the ending. I just thought it was lovely. A very descriptive poem.
Thank you. And Allison, what did you think?
I'm a character. I keep you guessing what's going on.
That's okay.
Over here.
That's why I have gray, my right-hand man on the side, just in case I get something wrong. You can bail me out. Isn't it? That's what co-hosts are good for, to save your butt in a time of electronic trouble. Thank you. Allison, what did you think?
Oh, yes. You know, everyone on this site's so talented, and this is just another great poem. And, you know, I just, in an old dead field, it sits there where flowers used to bloom. That, I just was immediately taken. I live on the edge of a prairie, and in that prairie, they burn it every year, and it looks dead, but there's a lot of people would just see dead grass, but it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what the chair sitting in the middle of it. Something about that image just took me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And let's get one more comment. Ellen?
This is actually Sunny. I think the title captured the whole piece very well, Barren Beauty. Basically, you know, something that you think that's not going to produce anything else, nothing that's going to grow and to add anything to it, and that of beauty, but yet when you sit there and that wooden chair upon everything in the middle of nothing, you can still take yourself back to the memories and to the sense. So I'm thinking maybe this, when she's a little girl, that this used to be a field, maybe they worked as her parents worked, and she used to watch them, and now that everything's long gone, there she sits, but she comes back to remind herself every now and then of that moment. Excellent, right?
Great. Wonderful comments and wonderful read, everybody. If you hear my cat complaining, he's only complaining because I'm on the computer. Doesn't bother me. And the rest of the day, he ignores me until I'm trying to sleep.
Well, maybe he's hungry.
I'm on.
You know. He could be hungry there.
Yeah, so if I'm in the other room, it's my birds singing. If I'm in the den, it's my bird, not my birds complaining, but my cat. So here we go. So we're now into the second hour of open poetry. So I'm going to get to my readers and callers, and then I will try to get to some of the people that are hanging out in the group. So I want to thank everybody. And like I said before, please don't be mad at me, because in 2 hours I cannot get through all this poetry. I don't like to rush it, because I would like for people to take their time to read the poem, and then especially to give their fantastic comments on your poetry. So now we're going to go off the reading, off my written list, which you guys know I'm anal about that. And we are going to go to... Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I have to make a list, because I want to make sure everybody reads and everybody gets the comment. I'm not one of those people. You've seen that commercial where they're handing out M&Ms and they keep three and give one to the other person, keep five and give two to the other person. So I'm not an M&M stealer, but I love all your sweet comments. So. Let's get started. So I'm going to go ahead and, find Weaver's poem. Weaver, did you put a poem in? Out of curiosity?
No, my dear, I didn't know.
That's okay.
What
I'm going to do is, since Dexter didn't call in, and he jumped in and popped in a poem right away, so let me look for him. There he is, and cross my fingers he doesn't call in, but I don't want to miss this poem not being read. I'll just assign him another poem. Here we go. So this is by Dexter. Yes, it's OCD, Bobby. And Bobby, I will get you to comment on the next poem. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, there you go, Weaver.
Thank you, my dear. Yes, I've got it. Shirley Ann Durden. Lovely name. Comfort in Earth's beauty, mm-hmm. blinding her godly awareness. An afternoon fun as any, peeking at creation's end. coral reef scallops, extraordinary and abundant. Fulfillment and connection bound by curious activity. Swimming pool circumstances, balloon each deep breath, a false misleading confidence that proves unforgiving. Power and terror, perfect and prehistoric, striking maliciously as precisely unexpected. Leaving boundless fear and darkness in its wake, as onlookers gasp with helpless heartbreak. Innocent mouths left wide, as crimson stains its hide, a memory so gruesome, words cannot describe. End poem.
Oh, that was a fantastic read, Katie, and I want to thank Dexter. This is an awesome poem. It's this is about Shirley Ann Durden. She was in the shark attack victim who was killed in Australia by a great white shark. And it says that it remains one of the very few incidences where a great white has ate a human. So let's go ahead and get some comments on this poem. Frank, you're next to comment.
Yes. First of all, it was a wonderful read there, Weaver. That poem was extraordinary as well. It's a very impactful piece there. I mean, I'm not really relevant or up to date what this story is, but I've heard of so many of these attacks. You know, it's just an extraordinary piece, and it makes you reflect on the incident itself. And just, you know, I agree, you know, the creature itself is not to be at fault there at times when we intrude, but it's just wonderful poem, you know. And this type of poetry makes us think about the reality we live in, the world we live in as well.
So true. Thank you, Frank. And what did you think, you're Bobby?
Well, it's interesting. This is the first fatal attack that Australia had since 1974. And it just serves as a reminder that we should not be contemptuous of nature. Because in a struggle between nature and man, more often than not, nature wins. And nature is very arbitrary. And unfortunately, she fell victim to this. And it's sad, but the way he's written it, it reminds us that there is beauty in the ocean, and there is also there's also danger. And so, unfortunately, we have to be respectful of our environment wherever we are.
Agreed. You know, I thought he did a fantastic, you know, this was effortless rhyming. It was just easy to follow along. And, you know, nature does call out to us. And anytime we go out in nature, whether it's in the desert, or whether it's in the tropics, or whether it's in the ocean, even flying in the sky, you know, we have to respect nature. And I think humanity has, because we've encroached on so many areas of the earth, you know, we have been slowly squeezing out and literally destroying the habitat. So the animals are trying to survive as we are trying to survive. And I think, in my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, my Native American blood, is that we need to learn to live with nature, not against nature. And I thought this was a fantastic write, an awesome read. What did you think, Greg?
I thought it was a fantastic write. I mean, you know, it's a horrific story, but he captured it fantastically with his words and his story. So an amazing write and a fantastic read, Weaver.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of Dex's poem?
Well, yes, it was one of those poems that I like to read because it flows so effortlessly. There's no effort involved in reading it. Beautifully put together, but such a sad, sad story. That is just awful. I understand that, you know, perhaps it is just very, very unfortunate. But it's that You see this leaving boundless fear and darkness in its wake as onlookers gasp with helpless heartbreak. I mean, that must have been... this is one of these poems that I'm really so glad has been written, because we need to remember the things that happen to people and needlessly dying. I mean, it's just... So thank you, Duke, for sharing that with us. It was beautifully written.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody. And our next poet to read is Laurent. And Laurent, you have the stage.
All right. Sorry, I got to jump back and abandon my comment. All right.
I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem at all. This is called Death, Nature, Aliens, and Love. Transports of ecstasy. Defibrillation on old linoleum. Changing of the guard. And the blessed grind their bread content. Flags snap. Hot breeze fitful. Jumps the gale force. Fence posts float. Barbs dig at the air. Quantum servitude. Radar blips scan impossible. Air, water, 90-degree turns. Zero elapsed time. Observe us. We don't care. Heart pierced. She bled in place. Hands twisting handkerchief. Love walked out the door. Solitude. End poem.
Fantastic read and poem. And since you are supposed to be next to comment, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, what inspired this? Because I am curious.
I was afraid you were going to ask that question.
You can always PM me, Laurent, and tell me. I'm sorry.
I was playing around with five line brevities, and I just pretty much wrote it all down as it came to me. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, it seemed to me as if each brevity, while being about a totally different subject, was somehow connected to each other. The longer I looked at it, the more I thought that was the case. And I'm still trying to figure it out myself, quite frankly. So have at it.
It must be those aliens whispering in your ear at night. Oh, thank you, Laurent. So let's get some comments. Francine, what did you think?
Well, this is rather deep for my my brain, but... Okay, transports of ecstasy and quantum servitude kind of go together, I thought. I thought at first it had to do with the aliens and sci-fi, but then I felt like we got into the military when it said flag snap, hot breeze, fitful jumps to gale force, fence post. This part reminded me of military things. So then I'm thinking, well, maybe the military is fighting with the aliens. But then we got to the last part where it says heart pierced, she bled in place. So now I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm probably missing the metaphor somewhere in here. And I think I lost it. But I love the way the last stanza sounds. Heart pierced, she bled in place, hands twisting handkerchief, love walked out the door. Solitude of Queens. I just love that. That sounds very poetic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next commenter is Allison.
Hello. Yes. This is another neat poem. And, you know, the second stanza was the one that just sort of rippled through me. It was like flag snap, hot breeze, fitful jumps to gale force, fence posts floating barbs dig at the air. It just made me think of a hurricane or a tornado, and I loved that. And then at the end, I actually saw a connection between the heart being pierced, the bleeding in place, love walked out the door, and I saw that and the relationship it had to a hurricane, where that's what came to my mind, Lauren. So that's all. Thank you.
Lou.
Thank you.
Lou, you need to check your studio.
Yes. Excuse me?
Can you check your studio?
Yeah. Caller 816, am I speaking with?
Hi, you're speaking to Fran.
Hi, Libertarian. Oh, I hear this baby. How sweet.
Yeah. I just got her down, but she decided to wake back up. So I'm going to mute myself. I did listen to the poem, but I'm going to comment.
Okay.
I'm going to get her back down.
Understandable. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And Fallon, you're next to comment on Laurent's poem.
Yes, I was kind of taken back by this because the perception I got of it, it just said that of, and I know I'm totally off, but it says where the flag snap, hot blue, sit full jump of the gale force. And then the fence posts float and the barbs dig at the air. To me, it's just like someone that's at the border that when they're trying to make it over from Mexico into you know, the state, and how things, the barbs dig at the air. And then of course, the heart pierced, you know, because she didn't get to go. And then her hands twisting with a handkerchief. That's what it brought to me. But then when you say what it is, that made sense too. Death, nature, aliens, and love. You know, we all shall die. We all, the nature of things, and we can't be arrogant and think we're the only ones in this universe. And then love, you got to love everything else. So I think it's well put together, and I think it's different and unique. Great job.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Laurent. And our next poet reader to read is Francine. I have dropped your poem in, Francine.
Okay. So I'm back to the top. Okay. I was looking for it on the bottom.
Do you see it? Do I need to post it again? Let me check.
It's on the chat room.
It's at the top?
Yeah. Yeah, here, I'll post it on the bottom so you can see it again. Sometimes you have to refresh to see the links because I have to refresh constantly.
Oh, I'll refresh it. Okay, I didn't refresh it. Sorry about that. I don't know why I'm not seeing it move.
Is it having issues?
If you go to the chat room, you can see it on the board in the group.
I'm at the top. It says Blossom Writer. Marius, Swan Song, Colette, Robert Gale.
No, yeah, that was a while back. You might be on, you're on the wrong
page.
I'm on the wrong page? Okay.
Yeah, you need to go to the group, LNP.
Which one am I supposed to be on?
In the group, late night poet?
In the group, the group messages? And you don't see it? Okay, well, let me find you. Email you the link so you don't have to look for it.
There you go.
In your message box.
Well, you know what? I could just go right in my own profile and find it probably.
Okay. Well,
would that be all right? Okay.
That would be fine. And while we're waiting, okay, let's see.
Gray, you didn't put the poem in, right? So would you like to read the poem?
Sure.
Okay. And while she's looking for that, our next poem is by Sonia. And I'm going to put that in the group. Give me just a second. Let me copy it. And hope it copies correctly because sometimes it'll double up on me. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Okay, Gray, would you please read that poem by Sonia?
Sure. This is called Autumn Is Here, and it's an acrostic. Autumn is here, undoing the green, turning leaves color until they fall, migrating geese fly north, left behind, end poem.
Thank you, Gray. That was a fabulous read, so let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Frank?
Can I be the next an excellent comment. I was trying to send
okay.
her the link, Francine, the link.
Okay. What did you think about this poem, Bobby?
Okay, she had to step away. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Bobby's on mute. Bobby? Oh, she's having to step away from a moment. Okay.
Do you want me to call
Oh,
me
my
now?
Goodness. Yes, please, Frank.
All right. Yes, it was a fantastic brevity. I'm very warm to her style of writing. I thought it's, she's always very much in tune with her poetry, in particular with nature. I've seen much of these types of poems that she's written. I thought it was a wonderful piece, and what a way to usher in autumn.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I thought it was a beautiful acrostic. She wrote it to Autumn. And I thought that she beautifully matched the pictures here when we see the birds flying and, you know, the leaves turning. And I just, you know, the geese just migrating. I just thought this was a gorgeous brevity. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I thought it was pretty. You know, I mean, it's a beautifully done acrostic. It has a nice flow to it. But, you know, it paints this wonderful picture quite beautifully with words. So, excellent, right? A pleasure.
Agree. Thank you, Gray. Thank you for reading for Sonia. And were you able to locate your poem?
Yes, I have it.
Okay.
Okay. The name of it is My Beautiful Baby Boy. I was pregnant at 25, the baby due in December. I delivered the baby on Christmas Eve, but it was dead. 2 months later, I was pregnant again and praying, I remember. The baby was due December 9th, but it came later instead. On December 27th, after inducing 12 hours, didn't bring him here, the doctor decided a C-section would need to be done. Finally, 2 hours later, I was in the recovery room. And I still remember asking the nurse to please bring my son. When I saw him for the first time, my heart was full of joy. His cheeks were rosy and round. He had all 10 fingers and toes. My world was being filled with him and turned upside down. And the happiest days I'd ever had were soon to be known. End poem. And I'd like to read the...
Go ahead.
I'd like to read the author note. My beautiful baby boy will be 45 coming December. He has been a source of pleasure and joy my whole life. He gave me a beautiful daughter and two wonderful grandchildren who are in my profile picture with me. That's the end of my note.
Aww.
I was feeling melancholy that day, so I thought I'd share it with you.
Well, you never, you know, miss your baby, even if, you know, miscarriages as if you carried them full term. I'm so sorry you went through this, but it's what a beautiful blessing. Yeah, what a beautiful blessing to have your son and your family grew with a daughter and then grandchildren. And I just thought this was a heart-wrenching and also a poem of hope. Just beautiful. So let's go ahead. What did you think of her poem, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was very brave to share so much hurt and pain with us. Thank you for that. I'm terribly sorry, but it kind of it's kind of hit home. So if someone else could comment, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, okay. I love you, sweetheart. Right. We love you. Laurent.
A poem like this can hit you really hard, as it appears to have hit Katie. I suppose any man can truly imagine being pregnant, delivering a child, and then delivering a dead one. But to come back and deliver one that is hale, happy, and healthy today is indeed a blessing. It does take a certain amount of intestinal fortitude, if you will, to share openly. Oh. But I believe that's something you can do with poetry in a group where you trust people and you express yourself very well. And I had to smile. I had to smile. His cheeks are rosy and round. He had all 10 fingers and toes. And that was always the hallmark.
Oh, I have
you know,
to check it.
Check quick. Check quick.
I have to check him out.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed this quite a bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Francine?
Oh, me?
You just read. I'm sorry. Allison, it's your turn to comment.
Thank you. This was beautiful. And the most incredible thing, I can't believe you did this, was where it says, and I still remember asking the nurse to please bring my son. Because you captured, you know, without ever naming it, the fear in that line is so powerful.
I was so frightened.
Yes, yes, I can imagine. And I know losing a child that is desperately wanted, that happened to me. And I know that that's a very difficult thing. It, you know, it took me 20 years to get past it. So
very
I hope
hard.
This you're healing. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What I wanted people to notice, and I'm not sure if you did, if anyone did, December 25th was the date that I lost the first baby, and I was 3 weeks late when I delivered my son, and I was very angry at the doctor for making me go through another Christmas without knowing if my baby was all right. So I think that's where the frightened part really came in, that I wasn't sure the baby was okay because it was being so late.
Thank you.
He was supposed to be around December 9th.
Sometimes they just like to cook a little longer.
Yeah.
In the oven and be baked.
But
and Mama
healthy,
carry them
so
around.
All is well in the world.
That's good. And
we
Ellen, your last comment.
I too have been through that. I had a daughter born February 10th, 1992, and exactly 1 year, February 18th, 1993, I had my son Jeffrey. So my only thing I can say is for me to get through it was when my pastor told me, if you can have them and have them for a moment or never know them for a second. So I'll take that moment that I got to know them, even if that life wasn't felt between us. I still got to carry her and love her in a way that I didn't do anything else. So just things, you know, happen and you just have to keep on. And big hug to weep everybody else. It's hard.
We get to see them in the next life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. I was going to ask, Keith, are you still online with us?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm here. Thank you.
No, Keith, I'm not sure. I don't know if he's still with us. He said he was calling in. I didn't know if he wanted to put a poem in, so I didn't want to bypass him. So I don't know if he's dropped or not. It said somebody dropped, but Felon?
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. It said you dropped it.
Yes, I
was just talking to you. So that's weird. Okay. All right, then. So let me go ahead and refresh the board. Keith, I'm sorry you dropped, but I'm glad you called in. And hopefully next time you can put in a poem, and if then you can read it or send in a recording. I'm still not too good with that. If it wasn't for Phil, I'd be lost in the water without my paddle. Okay, so I didn't want to pass him. Okay, and now I've got to go look for Allison. Okay. Oh my gosh, this list is so long that it's going to take me a few minutes.
It's very hard.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So there she is. Okay, Allison.
Who are we looking for?
Allison? Yeah.
Oh, Allison.
I'm going
I'm
down my list. Yeah, because I have to make a list. Because you guys
Allison,
are so fabulous. I get distracted
door?
Very easily, just like that little dog on Up that they go, squawk, that's me. So.
There you go. Oh, I'm sorry. Put it.
Thank you. No, don't be sorry. Go ahead.
No, I
thank
added
you, Frank.
In for it. You're welcome.
Okay.
Were you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The troubadour. I waxed upon your kitchen floor. You peered at me from near the door. I shifted with the shining sun. You watched my waxing shift and run. I waned upon your hammock bed. You stopped to bend and kiss my head. I shrank before you to a line, came back to fullness when it's time. I rose in red and shameless grace. My rust hue shone upon your face. You watched in wonder as I passed, your deep blue robe in stark contrast. White as a pearl, I crossed the sky and lingered till the sun was high. Honoring each new dress I wore, you wove my name into each lore. But you had end of days to face, though through each night I gave my grace. I now eternity must live without the praise you had to give.
Wow.
Oh, that's just fabulous. Let's get some comments. Bobby, are you back?
Back and front.
There she is. Okay. I'd love to hear your comment.
I really enjoyed this. It's very subtle. You have to read it through and really focus on the fact that the moon is being discussed here, but it is done with such subtlety that it really is quite an intriguing piece. White as a pearl, I crossed the sky and lingered till the sun was high. And honoring each dress I wore, you wove my name into each lore. The waxing and the waning of the moon, I've never heard it referred to that way before, and I think it's just wonderfully clever and very imaginative. I really enjoyed this read. It was stimulating in that it made me think, like, what are we talking about here? And when I realized it, it gave me a new appreciation of the piece. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought, first of all, the rhyming scheme was to a perfection there. But I like the metaphors there. The poem reflected to me a lot of brilliance there in that aspect. I like the same line there about the pearls. I thought that was exquisite there. I would also thought the piece was tremendous. It had a wonderful touch of a Victorian essence in it.
Mm. Thank you, Frank. And Gray Eyes?
I liked it. Yeah, you know, I liked the depth of the poem, you know, between the moon and its admirer. I thought it was a fantastic presentation, beautifully read as well.
You know, I just thought the imagery just flowed. It was lovely from each stanza to stanza. The imagery is just something that we could feel, at least I did. I waned upon your hammock bed. You stopped to bend and kiss my head. I shrank before you to a line, came back to fullness when it was time. I could go and comment on the other stanzas too, but that just stayed in my mind. I just thought it was just beautiful. And what did you think, Weaver?
She said she'd be right back.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get one more comment. Laurent, what did you think?
Laurent had to drop. He was getting tired.
Oh. Okay. All right. And Francine, what did you think of her poem?
I loved it. I thought it was excellent, very clever. At first, I thought she was talking about the sun. And it took me a few minutes to realize it was the moon. But I loved it. I loved the wording in it. I rose and read in shameless grace. My rust you shone upon your face. You watched in wonder as I passed. Your deep blue robe in stark contrast. I love the rhyme. It's just beautiful.
Agreed. Thank you.
Thank you all.
And I put it, thank you. And our next poet to read is Felon. Felon, I have your poem. And there it goes.
So I wanted to do something other than a brevity, like I always do. So this is something I wrote quite some time ago. And it's called Titles. Though I walk this earth, never known by parting waters or even building an ark, allowing protection to all species, race, and living, never spoke of miracles, much less create any, nor dance the ritual bringing rain to drought. No. Absent acknowledgments awarding no Nobel Peace Prize that I honor never, I'll never receive or even gain, that of Woman of the Year. Blank yearbook pages, unable to speak to any success as my future. A pure meek reminding me, never was a homecoming queen. Quotes to end war, resolve world peace as I feed the hunger, the words that never breathe. Though I have faded, I am human, as human as to era, owning up to all my wrongs, remorse recalls pain inflicted on others. Will my mark be remembered by striking within wonders amongst historical icons? Maybe not. Inspiration only falls upon the one or even a handful who shall honor my existence to their life. Waters may never part, nor will I keep those who sink survival afloat. A book to healing? Maybe. Resolve hate? Satisfy hunger? Exhume world peace? Doubt it. Awarding myself a Nobel Peace Prize, achieving inner peace, discovered when ending the war raging within my head. No longer seeking food, harvesting all of me, plants life's reason, basking boldly in inner peace. Hunger no more, as the belly feeds on fighting the cause to remain a survivor, never a victim. End poem.
Wow, that was a powerful poem and powerful read, Felon. Let's get some comments. Francine, are you back?
I'm still here. I didn't leave.
Okay,
I love it.
And
it's a very powerful poem. I enjoyed the whole thing, and it's not a brevity, this one. It's lovely. The parts that I enjoyed the most were never spoke of miracles, much less create any, nor dance the ritual, bringing rain to droughts. No, absent acknowledgments, awarding no Nobel Peace Prize, that honor I'll never receive or ever gain, Woman of the Year. I just love it. I love the way you talk about what you went through, things that you've accomplished and not. Beautiful. And very
thank
powerful.
You, thank
awarding
thank
myself
you.
A Nobel Peace Prize, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Weaver, are you back? Okay. So let's go ahead while we're waiting for her to come back. What did you think about the poem, Allison?
I really enjoyed this poem. I loved how it spoke to our insignificant, or for most of us, our insignificance in the big, great world, but how we impact individuals that are in our life. And I thought it was beautifully written. I loved the to achieve inner peace discovered when ending the war within a raging head. That was awesome because that is what it's all about. It's about what we struggle with inside and how we overcome it. Thank you for writing this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent comment. Frank?
Yeah, I thought it was a part of a poem, you know. If one thing I enjoy about Fallon's poetry is that she doesn't hide her feelings, her sentiments, her expression throughout the poem is just impeccable. It's just, you know, it's breathtaking, you know, when you write poetry from the inside, you know, from your soul. It is genuine, and this is just a wonderful piece. I was very much taken aback by this poem.
Great.
Oh, thank you.
You. Bobby?
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, sorry, fella. Thank you, Frank. Thank you. And Bobby?
Yes. I thought this was marvelously insightful. This speaks to the individual triumph, the things that we have all experienced at one time. We haven't split the atom. We haven't come up with a new definition of quantum mechanics. We haven't won the Nobel Peace Prize or published something that has hit the New York Times, number one seller for 31 weeks. But you know what? It's our lives are punctuated with these individual triumphs that on the grand scale, yes, of course, you know, we're blips, we're fleas, we're lint, but still, in if you look at us from the microscope, the microcosm of the individual life, how many of these do we celebrate with ourselves, with each other? The birth of a child, a graduation, overcoming, gaining, losing to 10, 20, 30 pounds, just whatever goals we set for ourselves, and that we achieve them, our own personal triumphs. This really speaks to that with a great deal of depth and insight, and I really enjoy this piece, and I'm very glad that you wrote it.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Fallon. Love you, girl. And
love you more.
I have just, thank you. Love you, too. I've just dropped in a poem by Poetic Picasso. There's a recording. Greg, could you play it for me, please?
Absolutely. I could, if I could find it. There it is. Okay.
Every smell of your bloom is a sacred sanctuary treasure, awakening petals unfolding at the morning dawn. I pluck from your lips the softness of a wet substance, from the dewdrops falling into your floral cheeks. I see you then bask in the light of the summer's rays. Your Sunday smile is the gleam of the sunlight. The reflection of your eyes are the shade of the twilight. Your romance is the moonlight, deep into the ripples of a pond. If I could be imbued with the deep tincture of your scent, I would breathe the soothing breeze of your fond murmurs, delight myself always with the sweetness and beauty of your love. Be there when the spring arrives, to witness you fully blossomed into my pretty azalea of devotion. It is me, Flor, jewel soy tu amor. You are my flower, and I am your love. In the poem.
You know, Frank, this is such a beautiful, romantic poem. I just loved your imagery in here. My pretty Azalea, I loved it where you said, the reflection of your eyes or the shade of the twilight. Your romance is the moonlight dip into the ripples of a pond. Oh my goodness, just congratulations on your goals. I could see why Selena gave this to you. It is stunning and it is so beautiful. It just lures you into its beauty. I just thought this was beautifully written, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Manana, you're welcome. And Gray, what did you think?
I just finished commenting on his poem and I said, every woman that reads this will be swooned.
Oh, you sound like Daniel now. No, Gray. I'm human, don't worry. Thank you.
Fantastic. It has depth. It has heart. It has romance. You know, it's quite a beautiful poem. And I like the alliteration to her being a azalea, which is a beautiful flower. So fantastic. Great. Excellent read, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Seth.
Thank you, Gray. And Weaver, are you back with us now?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm here. That was absolutely beautiful. So sweet. Wouldn't you love that poem to be written to you? It's just so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a tea set made by Susie Cooper that has an azalea on it as decoration. And it is absolutely lovely. It's just so nice. So I can see why you would think you're pretty azalea. Of course you would. So, yes, and your reading of it was absolutely marvelous. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to thank Selena, if she's out there listening. If she's out there, my dear, it's a poem from the contest there.
Fantastic contest. And let's get one more comment, Francine.
I loved it. I thought it was the most romantic poem I've heard in a long time. And I think if it was written to me, I would swoon. And, of course, you read it so beautifully. I really do. I mean, oh, my goodness. The azalea reference is just beautiful. I have azalea in my yard, and they're so beautiful in the summertime. I love them. Beautifully done, Frank. There's nothing else I can say. It's just so romantic.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome. And our next poet to read is our very own Bobby. Bobby, you're up next.
Ba-da-ba! That's why I was late, because I wanted to finish.
There you go, Bobby.
I have to preface this by saying.
I pass the torch on to you. You have the mic for tonight. I pass the mic on to you.
Oh, thank you. We sing, we dance, we are simple people, Sahib. this rides on the heels of the coattails of conversations that I've been having for the last week or so, or actually probably the last month, about pronouns and non-binary and the revelation of the society. All of a sudden, it's like this great upheaval of all of a sudden people are now, they're coming out and being who they are, and it is just this marvelous renaissance of people no longer being closeted because of who they love. And I was talking to my pseudo daughter, and a poem erupted out of several of these conversations, and it's called Pronouncements. I am he, as you are he, as you are me, and we are all together. I am the walrus, sung by the Beatles. They had no idea how prophetic it was. Emerson Hogue was a lovable rogue and a free thinker, as the name would imply. But the name caused confusion in its general usage, and folks would ask, is Emerson a gal or a guy? Emerson would just smile at this poser for a while before offering a measured reply.
And the answer is moot. And it doesn't matter who, on which side I button my fly. I am just me, and me's Emerson, you see, so your queries are really very trifling. To insist on a label would simply enable a modus of naming that's quite stifling. Now, Emerson's fly fox wouldn't be put in a box and would reply, "'Tisn't important, for I am way past it. To say sir or ma'am doesn't define who I am, and it's respectful any way that you cast it. To use pronouns to define us should be far behind us and is a rudimentary grammatical convention. Much more important by far is to be who you are. And with honesty, there's no room for pretension. Pigeonholes are for birds. And it is absurd to insist on an arbitrary designation. What matters the most is my readily reposed, I am me, in the face of societal dictations. So Emerson stood their ground on this argument profound and insisted that these practices we should decry. So don't label them, don't try. And whether a gal or a guy, please tell Emerson that we all of us said hi.
Fantastic rhyme. I love this, Bobby. I have always been that way. I just want to, you know, if you're a kind person, that all that mattered to me, I don't package you got, just as long as you're a good person, and that's all that matters to me. Okay, I you don't care if you're a biker, a hippie, gay, bisexual. It is, I have no qualms about that, because I that taught me a valuable lesson early on, that labels can be quite hurtful, and just love me for me. And I just thought this was just fantastic. What did you think about this poem? Fallon, did you drop yet?
I believe so.
Yeah. She was saying goodnight. Allison, what did you think? Are you still with us, Allison? I don't know anybody. Okay. Are you still drunk? I can't tell. I don't know. I can't. Let me see. Frank, what did you think of this awesome poem?
Did you say me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't certain if I heard my name. Well, first of all, congratulations there, Bobby. Your wit is superb as always. You're a masterful, I would say. You ascribe to a concept that I fully agree. You know, I think labels are very much, if I can say, very, very much Western, but you do find them a lot here in the States, and you do much in Europe.
Yes.
But I do like the concept here espoused here. You just have a wonderful way of displaying it through your creativity here, and this piece is, as always, it was a great rendition. I like to read even more. You did a fantastic job. I know we run out of time as well, so I'll pass it on to the next person to comment.
And Gray, what did you think?
I thought it was whimsical, you know, on a very subject that plagues society today. You know, I like your stance on it, though, so beautifully read and beautifully written, Bobby.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And let's see. Want to make sure. Francine, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here, and I thought it was wonderful.
I would love to hear your comments. Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I was hysterical at the end. I thought that was great. I really like the way you accept everybody. I'm the same way, and the pronouns are very confusing lately. There's some I don't even understand that are being used. So not your poem, but in general.
Yes.
So I thought it was wonderful.
People make up names.
I really did it. Yeah, I don't even know what they mean. But anyway, I loved it. Thought it was great. Very clever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought I heard Miscarriage in the background.
Pardon me?
I thought I heard the baby from Libertarian.
Yeah, did you, Libertarian, did you want to read your poem?
I would love to, if I could. Or not too late, are we?
Okay. I'm sorry, Selena. I will put you at the beginning of my show next week.
We have so much poetry, and let's see. Okay.
Do you need me to help you find it?
Yeah, I'm looking too. If anybody can put it up for me. Okay, let's see. My daughter. Okay, if anybody can post it before me, I'll send you a kiss.
Is that Selena?
I think my phone is not working.
No. Yeah, I got Libertarium on the line. So
Selena, I have it.
I have Stellina's too, but Libertarian's online, and I'll put Stellina at the beginning of my show next week.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Libertarian. I see that your baby quieted down, little thing.
Aww. Yeah, she's
go ahead
now. Okay, so this is called My Daughter. Baby burp, baby fart, and little baby toes, a little miracle, and my arm. She cries, she smiles. She dines from what my body provides. Her little body I brought here from mine, my daughter, Aviana, given to me by the divine. In poem.
Oh, beautiful.
I love
that.
Her name. What a beautiful poem. Let's get you some comments. Gray.
I thought you did a beautiful job reading the poem. But, you know, this is such a lovely tribute to your daughter. I mean, she's such a blessing in your life, and that's very well expressed in your poem. So fantastic job. I really
Thank
like
you.
The flow and the rhyme as well.
Thank you. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, just so cute. I loved it. I just loved it. I just thought it was so – and your baby's name is beautiful. But I love the beginning. You know I would. Baby burps, baby farts, and my little baby toes. That's so cute. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You made me smile,
which is
wonderful. Thank you for that. So well done, and please write a lot more about your baby because it's so cute.
Thank you. Francine, would you like to make a quick comment?
Sure. I wish they had a picture of the baby so I could have seen it, but you describe it so perfectly. And I really did love the rhyme of your poem, and her name is beautiful.
Thank you.
I thought it was lovely, just lovely.
Thank you. And Frank?
Yeah, I'll be very brief. It's a beautiful poem, beautiful baby, beautiful name, and you're very much, what's the word? I see happy, lucky. Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, it's just so late at night. My mind is going off to the bed there. All right, thank you.
And Bobby, would you like to comment, please? Bobby, are you on mute?
I am, and I was being brilliant too, damn it. I've never had the privilege of bearing children by choice. I chose the Marine Corps instead. You know, it's just one of those things. But this is so simple and so straightforward, and it expresses with such elegance in its simplicity the miracle of a new life, because that you can't minimize the fact that just something that reproduction, you know, it's biological, but then you've brought a new person into the world. And that in itself is a miracle. And I say congratulations. And I echo the chorus that it is a lovely name. And you're going to have a hell of a time trying to figure out something that rhymes with Ariana.
Thank you, everybody. And Selena, I'm sorry that I couldn't get your poem up. We do have a little bit of time, but I don't want to rush it because I don't want to rush the commenters, because I love to hear what they say about your poetry. And I want to thank everybody who sent me in their poems. I will be adding them to next work list, and I'm excited about it. We may even do a couple for Gray Eyes Show this Saturday so we can get you all in. And I want to thank Phil and Gray Eyes, Katie, Laurent, Francine,
Keith, Allison, Fallon, Frank, Bobby, and Libertarian. I love you guys, and kisses to everybody, and thank you for making this such a wonderful and happy night. I loved having you all and spending time with you all. And thank you to everybody that was in the group.
Okay.
Yeah, Selena, CL, and Pee Wee. Thank you.
Thank
you. Buenas noches. Kisses for everyone. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Have a good night. Thank you for calling.